This is All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, the creator of both and the host of this show. Today is another special edition in that instead of the typical interview with the author of a new book, I'm doing a roundtable discussion with three guests about the C.S. Lewis biographies that were released in 2013. This is the first of a two-part podcast reflecting primarily on the three titles that explore the life of C.S. Lewis. Helping me with this topic is Dr. Bruce Edwards, Dr. Charlie Starr, and Dr. Crystal Hurd. All three have been on the program before, and you can follow the link in the show notes to each of their websites to learn more about them. Plus, there are also links in the show notes to other podcasts they have been on before. Stay tuned at the end to find out where to go for that if you are not already familiar with how to. If you recall, the biographies from 2013 are from Alistair McGrath, Colin Duryea, and David Brown. There will also be links to where to buy these books and also to my interviews for each author that I did 2 years ago when the books were released. Welcome back to All About Jack, Bruce.
Good to be here.
And welcome back to Charlie Starr.
Happy to be involved.
Crystal, it's good to have you as well.
Great to be among such wonderful folks.
Well, we are obviously, as you just heard in the introduction, talking about the biographies of C.S. Lewis. And this idea came about because of recently, just a couple years ago, 2013, the 50th anniversary of the death of C.S. Lewis. And so several books came out then that were specifically biographies. We're going to be looking at those to one degree or another, but we're going to start off with the question of why so many biographies on C.S. Lewis. Bruce, get us started.
Well, it depends on the angle of your question, William. Why so many? Because we don't have the definitive one yet. There's an answer. Most of us have a sketch in mind of Lewis's kind of chronological days. I think those of us who've been reading him 20, 30, 40 years don't expect that kind of complete or thorough biography unless it includes every aspect of Lewis's life. And I have not seen that in print yet, and so I'm looking forward to it coming someday.
All right, Charlie, how about you?
His life is just so incredibly interesting. His life reads like something out of the movies. And or something out of a very nice novel that God has written, and we're fascinated by it. There are biographies on several of the other Inklings, but it's Lewis that people keep writing about over and over again because his life itself is something we want to know about.
Well, I have to agree with Charlie. C.S. Lewis lived an extraordinary life. So many aspects, from war to college teaching, to the breadth of literature he wrote in his lifetime. It's just so rare. And many times I'll go to a conference and people say, who is the next C.S. Lewis? I don't think there will be another C.S. Lewis. He was just this sort of fascinating tangle of all these wonderful experiences and events. And I don't think you can replicate that. And it's just, to me, it's just endlessly fascinating to study so many aspects. And this podcast and sort of reviewing some of the biographies, it really gave me a chance to look back and fill in some gaps, but also, as Bruce mentioned, to sort of notice some glaring, I guess, absences of time. But Bruce has hit on something. It's just very hard to articulate it because he's pretty much hit on it already. There's just so much left unsaid. We have a lot of information, but it's redundant. I'd like to see some more, I'd like to see some more examination into some of the, more controversial or more nuanced, parts of his biography.
If we want to be cynical, we might also add that there are many Lewis biographies because publishers want them because they believe they can sell them since Lewis is a popular figure. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to be cynical, just
Well, no, I mean, that's actually being a realist. Before we started recording, we were noting that because 2013 was the 50th anniversary, there were many people thinking, A, to have a book about C.S. Lewis, or to have a or relate it to something, an aspect of his writing or a biography. And so I'm sure that was a key factor in the biographies that did come out, as well as other times in his life, other anniversaries related to after his life. That was a driving force and such. But let's maybe drop back for a second and consider an overall question, and that is, what or when reading a biography, what do each of you personally look for, and is it any different, per se, when you pick up a C.S. Lewis biography than a biography about someone else? Bruce, we'll have you start us.
Well, I'll start with this. You have to be a good writer and not just a good biographer. You know, we have great researchers. We have great venues for doing further research on Lewis and friends. But I want to know that the person writing this story, this life story, is somebody who is capable. And they don't have to be as good a writer as Lewis was. How many people could live up to that set of qualities, but they have to be able to capture a life and find that life interesting and compelling. And, you know, not everybody can do that.
A partial answer is to say that novices, and you alluded to this in the way you worded your question, novices may want one thing from a biography while experts may want another. I think overall, I want a story that's interesting. And I want to meet the man, meet the woman, whomever the biography is about. I want to meet that person. I want to know something of that person. The experts also want some serious accuracy in the work of the biography, it seems to me. So there's a couple of things to consider anyway as far as what we want in the biography. Primarily for myself, overall, though, I want to meet the person in the biography that I'm reading.
If I'm picking up a specific biography on Lewis versus just another famous person writer, like Charlie mentioned, you have to sort of think of the audience. If you are an expert versus a novice, then you'll already have a lot of the basic information. So you're sort of looking at, okay, what aspects are you approaching Lewis from that are new or different or can provoke, you know, some new insight into his life. Usually at this point, I like to personally see new information. There's a lot of unpublished stuff. There's a lot of manuscripts here and there, and it sheds a lot of light into many aspects of Lewis's life, particularly the younger life. So I like to see new information and not exaggerated or hyperbolic, you know, information. I like to see it, you know, not what someone has construed, but what really comes from, you know, Lewis's life and what's new and interesting about him.
Yeah, let me add something here that, you know, for comparative biography's sake, I wish there were a writer as good as John Garth is about Tolkien, who would also write about Lewis. And I don't know Tolkien as a subject as well as I do Lewis, but there's something about the way John Garth has written about Tolkien that continues to make it a compelling life to understand. And even the sort of semi biographies of, you know, Lewis and Tolkien's friendship, I think there must be more to be said about that, and maybe that's going to have to come from the Tolkien side of scholarship. But Garth has a writer's empathy that I don't often find, even with the people who write serious articles about Lewis. And there's a part of me that says I want the facts. But more than the facts, I want them assembled in an empathetic way so that when I get done reading this book or this article, the Lewis that I've come to meet over the years is alive and well and has not been reduced or you know, the loser in a competition between the writer and Lewis. And I often see an attitude come out among biographers and writers about Lewis, where it's clear to me they have an ulterior motive of situating themselves as the judge of Lewis, his theology, his experiences with women, whatever it is, and they can come away or leave you the impression they've come away feeling like he's been vanquished. And I don't think any of the people who lived at the time of Lewis, especially the women who worked with him and if I can say it, loved him, ever felt they were in a competition with him. And I think much of the writing that's coming out, including the volume that we were talking about before the podcast about women and Lewis, does a great deal to endear us further to Lewis, while also being very sharply and focused in its attention to Lewis's relationships with women. So that's just one example that I think it has to be part of a biography of Lewis, but the competitive nature of the writing of it is something I don't particularly like to see.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, Bruce, because there's a piece called Unreal Estates where Lewis is having a conversation with two other scholars, and he mentions in the conversation, are you at the point in your career where people are writing papers about you? He says, it's so, he's sort of laughing about it because he says, people are asking me these questions which I have flatly contradicted in my own writing. And what's unfortunate is now that he's been dead 50 years, he can't, he can't naysay, he can't be a naysayer to a lot of the stuff that's coming out or that people suggest that may be untrue, which I think is another thing when we look at some of the biographies. Are you trying to be scandalous or create something out of nothing?
Well, what Bruce's last comment reminded me of was an idea that we see in Lewis and some of the wording from his essay, Myth Became Fact, fits very well. In reading biography, do we want to know the man or do we want to know about the man? Do we want to know the real C.S. Lewis or do we simply want to know information about him? Mm-hmm. And Lewis's emphasis in that essay is, well, we want to know the real. We don't want to simply know about the real. Mm-hmm. We don't want to know Lewis in the abstract. We'd like to meet Lewis the person, if that can be done in biography.
Well, now let's go ahead and address the biographies that came out in 2013. At the opening of the show, we mentioned the titles, but I will remind everyone of them. And I think I'm going to go in the order of what was published, but if not, they still came out all in the same year. Dr. Alistair McGrath, C.S. Lewis, A Life, and then Colin Duryea, C.S. Lewis, A Biography of Friendship, and then finally Dr. Devin Brown, A Life Observed, with the subtitle A Spiritual Biography of C.S. Lewis. So first of all, just a grand overview in terms of your thoughts about the three, and then we may go more specifically into each of them, but feel free to emphasize one over the other. Bruce, let's go ahead and kick off with you.
Okay, well, let's admit at the beginning here that Alistair McGrath's book is the more weighty of the three. It is intended to be a more comprehensive biography of Lewis, and therefore you might say we have to judge it, I think, differently than the other two, simply because there's a greater expectation for accuracy, for empathy, and for a kind of authority of the text. And I think that even Dr. McGrath would admit that. And I think the responses to his work, the two extremes, some panning of the biography, as well as some very exuberant, praiseworthy comments about the biography, reflect that. And I think both Collins and Devin's work are a bit less ambitious and therefore have a particular audience and a particular scope in mind. And I think we would probably judge them differently, not intending to imply that there's any less quality, but that they have, by their subtitles, focused us on a certain kind of reading of them.
The three biographies are certainly distinct. They each have a different purpose, and one of the things that is enjoyable about the existence of multiple Lewis biographies is the fact that sometimes they will focus on a single aspect of Lewis's life. And so several years ago, Alan Jacobs took his Narnian approach to a Lewis biography. Colin Duryea wants to focus on Lewis's connection with other people in the biography that we have before us here. Devin Brown's approach to Lewis doing a spiritual biography, I found especially captivating because he, in essence, did what Lewis did in writing an autobiography, focusing on a certain aspect of his life. And I thought there was a certain excellence in Devin choosing to do that in a way that could even give us more access to Lewis's autobiography, but maybe to the most central aspects of Lewis's life as a whole. I like them all for different reasons. I have dislikes among several of them for different reasons. Overall, I'm happy to look at a new Lewis biography when I get the chance.
I had a sort of jump off of Charlie's comment here. I think it's very intriguing that we have, at least the ones that we've chosen to discuss, some very interesting and diverse groups of writers and their particular focus. I always love Duryea. I think he does a fantastic job. And as you know, he's done a biography before on Tolkien and Lewis. So he has done a lot of scholarship in the area of collaborative, writing and working, so the Tolkien friendship especially. And I think Devin Brown has done a great, great thing in writing about, specifically about Lewis's conversion experience, because he himself says in Surprised by Joy, if I were to write a memoir, this is what I would write about, something that was completely life-changing. And I think we all benefit, from the ride to the Whipsnade Zoo. late night talks with Hugo Dyson and Tolkien. I think that probably the one with the most attention was probably McGrath's. That one was being talked about and pushed quite a bit. So it was interesting to read, and I think McGrath got a lot of things right. I think he got a few things wrong, but I think it was an admirable effort. I, like Bruce mentioned, it's very, very difficult to find something that is as comprehensive as, the full-blooded Lewis we see in his letters and in various works that he's done. But I think the three of them can almost work complementary in a way. Very interesting works.
Well, then, with that, let's go ahead and look at each of the biographies and kind of take the pros and cons approach. Some aspects have already been mentioned. So then for each or any of the ones that you care to discuss, what are some pros and cons of these three biographies from 2013? Bruce?
All right. I'll start with the biggest of the three and the most ambitious of the three. And I would preface what I'm about to say by saying it is a daunting task to consider writing a biography of C.S. Lewis. And so I have great sympathy for anyone who's attempting that effort, and especially in response to the provocation of the 50th anniversary of Lewis's passing. And that was also the year of the Poets Corner in Westminster. And so all sorts of things riding on it. And who knows how many dark nights of the soul McGrath would have endured in order to pen this large and demanding task, and in knowing it would get extra scrutiny, and there would be people on all sides, ready to say, "Oh well, I wouldn't have said that," or "Oh, how can you left out that?" And I guess I don't want to be that guy, but I have my prejudices, and I found a review by Paul Johnson, the great Paul Johnson, the great British writer who was a student of Lewis's, and I thought his review was the most telling. And I just want to read his opening lines, and it helps me shape how I responded to this work. C.S. Lewis, this is Paul Johnson, C.S. Lewis became a celebrity but remains a mysterious figure. Several biographies have been written, not to much avail. And now Alistair McGrath, a professor of historical theology, has compiled a painstaking, systematic, and ungrudging examination of his life and works. And then here's his tagline. Despite all the trouble he has taken, his book lacks charm and does not make one warm to his subject. Now, if that were a review of a book I'd written, I would be devastated. Because what it means is you've been very factual and you've been very scrupulous in telling this story, but it lacks charm and it lacks maybe dignity. And, you know, that's you know, a real good news, bad news review. But Johnson has the advantage that I don't have, and I suspect Charlie and Krista would say the same thing. He knew Lewis. He heard him lecture. He had Lewis as a tutor and allowed Lewis to examine his work. And so it's like what Lewis said in Reading History, what you'd give for any everyday ordinary Athenian to talk about his daily life compared to the historical recreation of Athens. And I think when you get to the point where there are no longer any Lewis contemporaries, we really are two and three generations away. And I think that's the era we're about to participate in, where everything anybody knows about Lewis is at best secondhand. But the job of biographer, and I would say it would have been the job of Dr. McGrath, is to not let that second-handedness creep into the work. And I think that's sort of what my complaint would be. I can't think of, you know, specific inaccuracies. You know, I can think of preferences. I would have, you know, preferred different treatments of Joy Davidman for certain. I think what disappointed me about the work as a whole is it didn't resonate with somebody who really knew Lewis. And I think it is possible to be a great admirer of Lewis and to see the authentic nature of Lewis's achievements and career and be able to speak to them with great empathy. That's my big word, empathy. And I just didn't find it there.
Well, just using the likes, dislikes model, I like everything Bruce just said. But in addition to that, I very much liked McGrath's insights into Ireland and Oxford politics. When Crystal was talking about wanting to learn some things that are new, those are prime examples of that in McGrath's biography. I liked his approach to The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe when he talked about medieval atonement theory. I can give you page references, 295 and 6 on that. It was played up a great deal, but I also think his argument is solid when he reconsidered Lewis's theistic conversion, some work that Andrew Lazo then also did, including in conjunction with McGrath. That new date that McGrath considered of 1930 for Lewis's theistic conversion makes a great deal of sense, and I find it a solid argument, and I thought it was a very fascinating point. I also like that he may be the only biographer, or at least one of few, who in his chapter 15 talks about the Lewis phenomenon. That is, he spent some time on the history of the post-Lewis world and why Lewis continued to be important, especially in America, after his death. My dislikes for McGrath, his treatment of Joy seemed harsh. And I especially, if I have to call him on something, I have to call him on a what is probably an honest mistake and not any kind of attempt at manipulation, but a crucial mistake nevertheless. And that is on page 332 in the book. He says that by early October 1955, he, referring to Lewis, had reluctantly agreed to install Davidman and her two sons at the kilns. And the date of 1955 is wrong. It was, in fact, October 1956. Now, that's probably just a mistake. However, when McGrath is spending time trying to argue that Davidman came to England, that Joy came to England to seduce C.S. Lewis, and that she went after him, and she did so forcefully, and then came a moment when, after they had been married in a civil marriage, she was demanding that Lewis allow her to stay in his home with her children, that 1955 date becomes suddenly very suspicious. That mistake becomes suddenly very suspicious. If you're going to be harsh in the way that you treat Joy, you'd better have a perfect text to back you up. Even accidental mistakes begin to look like purposeful deceit, even if it's not. I also thought he was a bit harsh with his text on Humphrey Havard. He might be accurate, but you could have perhaps been nicer in the way you said it. I'll go ahead and mention this, though. In this, I'm being somewhat subjective and prejudiced myself. I think his reading of the Man Born Blind short story is rather iffy and doesn't show that he was up on the latest work done on that wonderful story and the true version of The Man Born Blind, the light story, all of which was revealed in a brilliant book written in 2012. Came out in 2012, which called Light, C.S. Lewis's first and final short story. I forget the author. Okay, I was the author, but...
even if you weren't, you would be proud of the work, right?
he wasn't up on the latest research in that part of his biography. Finally, I'll go ahead and I'll say what I think what his greatest failure is, and Bruce has already essentially said it. I think McGrath gives us facts and focuses on ideas, but we never really meet Lewis the man. We never meet his character. We never meet his soul. I don't just want to know about the man. I want to know the man himself. I don't just want the facts. Facts, Lewis once said, facts are nothing without interpretations. I would say facts are nothing without meanings. And it seems like I got all the facts of C.S. Lewis in McGrath, but not very much of the meaning.
I believe I have to agree with both Bruce and Charlie on many of those. I guess that's just the bum luck of being at the end of two fantastic scholars. But I do agree with Charlie that the work on Belfast and the political and sort of spiritual, I guess, mix of that was going on. It was very, very contentious politically. And as we all know, Albert Lewis was kind of in the thick of that as a court solicitor. So C.S. Lewis grew up, and I did a lot of this with my dissertation on leadership. Lewis grew up in a household full of politics. Boxen is full of politics. A lot of the you know give and take of what it is to live as a society is in there because of his upbringing. And just sort of how the political climate was, which I think he did an excellent job explaining thoroughly. And I also think I agree that his analysis is very, very well done. I wouldn't argue for a minute that he didn't spare, he didn't spare any time as far as getting his work done during his scholarship. He obviously did industrious, inexhaustible scholarship to put this book together. But personally, and of course you knew this was coming because I'm the third one to say it, I do believe that his treatment of Joy was ridiculous. I don't understand. It just seemed incongruent with a lot of the stuff he was saying, which was using a lot of, he used a lot of, he even changed, the date of Lewis's conversion. This was painstaking research. And he gets to that one section and he does it a little bit with Elizabeth Anscombe too, when he discusses that area. And he mentions how some people have thought, that Elizabeth Anscombe was the White Witch. I would never think that C.S. Lewis would be that malicious, to have one argument with a woman and then paint her as, as a malevolent character and, in a children's series. I just don't feel like that would be something he would do. Again, I don't know him personally, but I've read him a lot. So I just feel like to almost any woman in the book, in his later life, he just seemed very, I don't know, just not complimentary of hardly any women that were in the later part of his life. And sure, Joy was different. She was outspoken. She was, you know, kind of bossy. She was a little bit argumentative. That's true. All that's true. But I also think that there are a lot of great aspects of Joy that and great stories of Joy that are out there, and he sort of neglected to include those so that you can kind of get a better picture of who she was and of their relationship as a whole, which Linton Lands and some other books kind of fill those gaps in. But to say that someone else called her a gold digger is absurd. I mean, you know, it's just absurd. I think if you read enough of Joy Davidman, you know, she is a very authentic person, and that's probably what Lewis loved about her. No pretensions, like you took her exactly as she was. So and I've read a lot of Joy Lewis. It just doesn't, she does not strike me as a type of woman to be a gold digger. I mean, not a bit. She's too, she's ambitious. I'll give you that. But, having read her letters and, having read Smoke on the Mountain, which Lewis wrote the foreword for, it seems to me like they had this brilliant artistic collaboration, and this artistic reciprocity that eventually matured into real love. So I don't think you can dismiss that, just that whole section of his life.
I'm afraid I must jump in at this point to end this first of a two-part roundtable discussion of the 2013 biographies. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host and creator of All About Jack C.S. Lewis podcast. Be sure to listen next week to the concluding part, or if you caught this after its initial release, then you can probably find that second podcast already. Find out by stopping by EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Which is also where you can find the show notes containing links to where to buy the books discussed and hear interviews I actually did with each of the authors, McGrath, Duryea, and Brown, back in 2013. I also have links to other programs where my guests today have appeared, as well as a link to each of their own websites. Again, that's EssentialCSLewis.com, or you can go where the audio files are hosted directly, allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled PODBEAN. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with others. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online at EssentialCSLewis.com or at AllAboutJack.podbean.com. There you can also find previous shows where I typically do author interviews. However, most recently I reposted one of my essay chats, which is an occasional series, exploring a shorter work by Lewis. The last one posted was on an essay entitled The Vision of John Bunyan. Then also, a couple of months ago, I shared a short talk I did that presented questionable quotations attributed to Lewis that may not be by him. You can hear those and others by going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, you can email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com.